Newcastle's 102.9 KUFM. It is Tanya and Steve. With Tanya back on deck tomorrow. She's sick today. And don't forget, The Block is back Sunday to Wednesdays on 9. And to celebrate, Tanya and Steve want to do what we did last year. We want to go out there on the streets of Newcastle, block someone's street and broadcast live. If you'd like us to turn up at your place, just go to kufm.com.au. We'll also bring $2,000 cash as well to give away on the day.
You know, the thought of sounding frivolous, and I don't mean to be, but there's often in the media cycle or in the medical cycle where a particular prescribed drug becomes the rock star for a couple of weeks. I say that meaning that, you know, everything gets focused on this particular drug. There was a 60-minute story. There's some awful stories going around. People are getting addicted and losing their lives. I say rock star meaning there's so many out there. This one popped, I've not heard of.
Yeah, fentanyl.
Fentanyl, I'm sure a lot have, and a lot more aware of than me, but I thought we'd get our expert who will know more about it for us. And I, again, don't say rock star as in to be frivolous about it. I just say it tends to be different medications get spotlighted, which is this one
and
now.
Media spotlights on
Dr.
this one.
Dr. Bridie O'Donnell, good morning, Bridie.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Do you agree with me, Bridie? I mean, this one sort of popped out of nowhere, and it does have, I mean, it's a painkiller and a very addictive one at that, but prescription, isn't it?
It is, and you're right in the fact that it's unusually prescribed by doctors for people to manage pain. You know, it's used by anaesthetists. It's a really effective way to help people manage pain within an operation and after an operation.
Right.
But certainly we've seen with the death of Prince and with other, you know, we could argue people with a high net worth who have possibly their own physician, you know, their own doctor who's addressing areas around pain relief or other addiction. So it's a really dangerous combination of behaviour and a relationship between a doctor and a patient.
The comparison to heroin, how close is that?
So both of them work in a similar way when we think of how drugs or medications affect receptors in our brain. And, you know, heroin's a very effective drug for what, you know, for what people use it for. And people use methadone when they're coming off heroin.
Yep.
Similar types of drugs. But fentanyl is highly addictive. And it's also, you could argue, a very clean drug. And when I say that, I mean, unlike ice, which is a drug that gets mixed with lots of things and is very dangerous with unknown effect, you can kind of predict what the effect of fentanyl will be, but certainly we've seen overdoses of the drug, so unintentional overdoses where people have been taken too much or they've been prescribed too much, or the use of it isn't being appropriately monitored by a trained medical professional.
Now, I saw in the 60 Minute stories strips. Is that right? It's like a band-aid. They can put it on and it must slow release, almost like a smoking patch. Is that right?
Yeah, well, look, there are different ways that lots of different drugs can get absorbed into our skin. And, I mean, anyone who's gone to a kid's emergency department will see that, you know, for lots of little kiddies, they put Emblar cream on their hand before they put a drip in, and it actually helps numb the hand. The reason they do that is because we have lots of blood supply to our skin, and it's where some drugs can be really adequately absorbed. So that might be one method that some people use. Certainly in a hospital setting, it's used as an intravenous drug, so it's put into a drip to help people manage pain.
Well, where we lost that young man lost his life, giving you a scenario, he's, you know, back pain, back injury. He's obviously had that, as you suggested, from the operation and then got into and continued to have pain, but realised the only thing that seemed to be fixing it was that. And then he started, as they call it, doctor shopping and getting his own by simply asking the doctor, this is what I was on, and it was then continually prescribed. So, like you said, it's not really something a doctor will prescribe, but if you go in there and ask for it, you could possibly get it.
Oh, I actually don't know if that would be the case. I think that the challenge for most doctors frequently, if I was speaking from our perspective, is the lack of time and a good relationship with the patient to really understand them.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, your urge is always to help relieve pain and to manage someone's symptoms. And so if someone, and the idea of doctor shopping, it is very dangerous, but yet you also often have extremely honest and authentic people who are in terrible chronic pain that definitely need to be managed in some way.
And that is a really hard place for doctors to be put in, isn't it? Because you're right. I mean, your whole being is about relieving pain and helping, and therefore, you know, it's really hard to tell the difference between an addict and someone who genuinely needs it.
Well, yes, and you can also argue that an addict actually genuinely needs it as well.
Well, sure.
You know,
yeah.
So what we do, but you're right, it's a much longer conversation about, hey, mate, how are you? Do you have supports around you? Can we find a better way for you to manage your pain? Or should we start a process of you to go into a rehab facility to start withdrawing from the wrong kind of medication? So another great example is, I mean, this happens quite a lot. Let's say a young man who's had a motorcycle accident, has had multiple fractures in his body, takes a long time in hospital to recover, and is given opioid medications for weeks or months, and then they're sent home. And then what do you know? Can't sleep, excruciating pain. Doctors are saying, well, you've got to come off those drugs, mate.
Yep.
But you can see how he's there thinking, how am I supposed to do that? I can't move.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a really big problem. We've seen this in the US even further, which is doctors just trying to be the person with the solution
yep.
without thinking about a longer-term plan.
Well, heads up too, I guess, on one level, just letting that drug be known and that name be known out there for someone coming out of an operation, just be warned, it has got addictive sides, and I'm sure you get told that, but maybe even raise the awareness of it a bit more, Bridie.
Absolutely, and we need to do a much better job of reminding people why it's a problem, not just saying it's addictive, but saying it can lead to challenges, and your best efforts to start withdrawing your own self in a really structured way is the best way for you to manage your pain longer term.
All right, thank you, Dr. Bridie. If I was doctor shopping, I'd buy you.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Very important. That's great.
Dr. Bridie O'Donnell with Tanya and Steve. She knows a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
about
and
things.
It is true. I guess it's that, you know, as I said, rock star at the moment, but, you know, it is highly, highly addictive.
Yeah.
People are losing their lives, so I thought it would be worth talking about.
Absolutely. Tanya and Steve, this is KOFM.
Barely heard of it.
Yeah.
And Bridie said it's usually prescribed after surgeries and things like that. But then we moved into the addictiveness of it. We also move into what we call doctor shopping, meaning, you know, you can't just get it or get enough. So you doctor shop, meaning you just turn up all over
trying
the place
to get
and
prescriptions
map it all out.
Different doctors.
Now,
yeah.
Fred has called through, very aware of this subject, Fred.
Indeed, indeed. Yes, about 2 years ago, I was arriving back to Australia from an overseas trip, and I got off the plane to discover that during my flight from the US, my eldest daughter had actually died from an overdose of fentanyl.
Oh.
So I went from the airport straight to the morgue.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's
so
it's
sorry,
pretty
man.
Real. Yeah, yeah, well, you know, it just...
were you aware of her addiction?
Oh, yeah, yeah, look, she'd been an addict for a long time. And I guess trying to get something positive, hey, out of it, I think the real issue is her story is that, as I said, she had been a fairly long-term, quite a long-term drug user. She was living with a flatmate in a similar situation. He had gone doctor shopping and had somehow managed to convince the doctor to give him some fentanyl patches. And then she actually steeped them in boiling water and injected the soup, I guess that's what you call it.
And that's something we didn't get with Bridie, as you're right, is that the different ways, and when the addiction gets really hard and really high, they go for different ways to get it in quicker and more of it.
That's it. I think the real question is, I mean, whether this drug should be available, whether someone should be able to walk in and get this particular drug. It's an excellent anaesthetic during surgery.
Mm.
It's an excellent anaesthetic post-op.
Yep.
I guess if somebody comes home from a major operation, perhaps there is a situation for fentanyl patches to be prescribed for a number of weeks coming on. But the position where someone can actually walk in and get the drug, I mean, I know there are other people because I, you know, obviously read things that when it comes up on Google search about it. But there are people in the Australian medical community at the moment who are questioning whether this is really an appropriate drug for a person to be able to walk into their GP and get a prescription for.
Yeah, it's...
I don't think that's its best use. And also, I think people who do have chronic pain, or even if it's severe pain, I'm not sure that long-term fentanyl is really the best drug for them
well. You have personal experience and you make a really valid point that needs to be talked about more. And as is from even the Sunday Night 60 Minutes story, I don't know if you saw it, Fred, but that was a lot of it. It was like, really, this probably shouldn't be available at all. But I'm really sorry for your loss, but thanks for sharing that with us, Fred.
Yeah, and I guess one other final thing is that her flatmate who got the stuff has to live with that.
Yeah.
But the thing I really wonder is, I don't think the doctor who prescribed it even knows that that was the result of him or her prescribing that drug.
Okay.
And I guess that's one thing. Look, you've got to have a bit of anger.
Yes.
You know, and something like that happened. And I guess if I have any anger, it's to that doctor who did that.
And understandably too.
Yeah, I think that's my comment to the medical fraternity is I don't think that this drug is really best. I don't think community is best served by this drug being available on prescription from a GP.
All right, thanks, Fred.
Let's really quickly, Steve. The phones have absolutely lit up. We've got Belinda here, whose mother's currently addicted at the moment.
Wow, this is interesting when you talk about a Belinda, and then you know people just going fully aware of what's going on with this drug.
Yeah, it's massive. It's out there, and it's not just a young person's thing.
Yep.
Like, she's 75, and she's smart enough to go a doctor shop, and they just give it to her.
Now, for people joining, we're talking about fentanyl if you just join us, but I guess I'm flippantly throwing around doctor shopping. There might be people who go, what's this doctor shopping mean? But it just means going to different doctors that you don't necessarily see all the time, getting an immediate appointment, and I take it, Belinda, maybe paying cash too?
I'm not sure. I haven't asked that because she's too off her face to get any information out of. But we've found scripts galore hidden all over the place. And, she just walks in, tells them she's got back pain. She's been a drug addict of prescription drugs all her life.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't get any help for her. We've had to take her car keys off her because she's a danger. She's a danger to society.
It's a total glazed eye, just not there.
Yeah, she's not there. She's off her face and she's in bed all the time. And when she's got enough energy, she's up and she'll go to five or six doctors a day.
Yeah.
And
we just heard from Fred, mate, overdose, lost his daughter on it. I mean, it's very heavy stuff, isn't it?
It's full on. It's scary how addictive it possibly is. Yeah, and how easy it's to get. I'm horrified.
Well,
absolutely
horrified. Worth putting the spotlight on to hear that name and get
to know
that a little bit more, Belinda.
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Needs to be done.
Belinda. Sorry for your mum, mate. I hope she gets better.
Yeah, the phones are just
doesn't
gone
sound
crazy,
like she will,
Steve.
Though. It sounds really, really... Yeah, the phones are nuts. It's
so
obviously...
lots of people affected. Just look out for it.
Behind closed doors, I call it, right, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, behind closed doors, we just don't know what's going on and you just raise the subject and boom. But anyway.
Absolutely. Tenure and Steve, KUFM. It takes Eddie Maguire a